Imagine you ask two people the same 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Go behind the wheel and under the hood on everything automotive with high-speed stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Welcome to the podcast. I'm Ben Bolin, here with Daredevil auto editor Scott Benjamin. How are you doing today, Scott?
I'm doing fantastic, Ben. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm actually amazed to see you so remarkably calm after that blazing example of stunt driving I saw you pulling on the highway coming into work.
I don't know about blazing, but actually I'm surprised to hear that you're even on the highway in that car that you have.
Yes, that's a miracle, and it's amazing in itself. I've got to say, though, I'm impressed. Maybe I had the wrong picture. You nerves is still.
Oh, yeah. I like to push it every now and then when it's safe. I like to bump it up a little bit if I can.
So you're a speed enthusiast, you would say.
I definitely am. Yes, I am.
Well, it's very interesting that you mentioned that, Scott, because our topic today actually is speed, where we've been with speed, what's really fast now, and how fast we think we could go in the future. So I guess the best way to start out, you know, let's just go right for the epitome of speed. What is the fastest we can go on land right now?
Well, I guess the best way to determine that is by the land speed record. We've got current land speed record is now supersonic. It's above Mach 1. The latest is just above 760 miles per hour, which is right at that point. So we're now achieving Mach 1 on land in what's considered to be a car.
So there's a person in there.
There is a person in there. That's right.
Wow.
Now there are other speed measurements that are taken. You know, we can propel things faster than that, of course.
Okay.
Unmanned items such as you've heard of rocket sled on rails, right?
Yeah, it's a figure of speech.
Yeah,
right?
Sure. Yeah, we have tested. Well, not we, but at an Air Force base in the United States, they've tested a rocket sled that was on rails, unmanned, of course. That it went. It went 6,500 miles per hour.
6,500.
Yeah, a little faster than that, actually. So that is that translates to around Mach 8.5 or just above that.
Wow, that's crazy. So they took a rocket, basically, mm-hmm. strapped it onto something that could go on railroad tracks, right?
On rails, yes.
And they haven't put a person on that yet.
No. I don't think a human would much appreciate going 7,000 miles per hour or close to it. Anyways.
Well, you're the one who likes to go fast, my friend. Now, that's the fastest we've got. Now, what obstacles have we had to kind of overcome to get there?
Oh, well, there's quite a few. There's gravity. That's probably the biggest one. Mm-hmm. You've got rolling resistance. There's wind resistance. There's inefficiency in the vehicle that you're driving. So trying to get the power from the engine or whatever is propelling it to translate into driving that vehicle forward, that takes away a lot of the energy that's actually produced. So you could have a vehicle that's really what you think is very efficient, but you know, you're losing all this power from the engine to the wheels.
Mm.
And once it gets to the wheels, then you've got everything that I just mentioned.
So it
takes away from it. Now, if we were in a vacuum, or maybe out in space, which is a vacuum, you could. Of course, human could travel at several thousands of miles per hour, no problem.
Mm-hmm.
Any vehicle, it could be any shape, You know, just it's that initial thrust really that does it.
Well, what used to be fast?
Actually, Ben, I like talking about speed in the past because it gives us a a picture of where we were, where we are now, and so we don't necessarily take for granted where we are now. You mentioned that on the highway, we travel at high rates of speed right now, and if you look back, there's one clear example of this that I like to point out is that the Indianapolis 500. That's a celebration of speed. That's everything about racing and fast cars, and it's great sport to watch. I really enjoy the Indianapolis 500 every year.
And they go hundreds of miles an hour right now.
Yeah, they go over 200 miles an hour.
Wow.
At times, around 220. I don't know the exact number, but it's somewhere up there. In the past, if you could take the very first Indianapolis 500 as an example, that was in 1911, and the winner. His average speed was 74 miles per hour. And that doesn't sound like much now, of course. We travel that fast on the highway or faster a lot of times.
I can do that in my hatchback. Yeah. I did it once. I'm not going to try it again.
Yeah, too much shaking probably going on. 74 miles per hour, but that's over 500 miles per hour. And again, that's a century ago. So you look at the speeds now in 2008, and we've doubled that. I mean, the 2008 winner of the Indianapolis 500 went... 100, I think it was 143 miles per hour was the average speed. And again, that doesn't sound all that fast. They're capable of 220, but for an average over 500 miles, 143 is pretty fast for an average. So doubling that's pretty impressive, I think. And if we can look forward or forecast that we're going to double that again in a century, I don't think we can. Just maybe the limitations of the human body and limitations of the track itself, and I just don't know if that's even going to be possible. We probably will bump it up, but not double like we have in that last century.
Yeah, weren't you telling me before that one of the problems drivers have at that speed is something with blinking?
Yeah, that's right. They found, and this is a few years ago. This was in Champ Cars during in the kart series. They found that drivers were experiencing problems with dry eyes, and they couldn't figure out why would they have dry eyes. They're not, these are open cockpit cars, but they've got full helmets on. They realized that at the speeds that they were traveling at that track, and I don't remember exactly what track it was, but they were traveling at such a rate of speed that if the drivers were blinking, the distance the vehicle traveled and the time it takes to blink an eye was something like 37 feet. So the drivers were worried that in 37 feet something's going to change dramatically in front of them and they're going to miss something. So they're driving with their eyes pretty much as wide open as they can and trying not to blink or making a conscious effort not to blink because of the speed they're traveling.
So I guess with that logic, our guy in that 700 plus mile an hour car could blink and open his eyes more than 70, 80 feet later?
I don't even know what the amount would be, but we're talking, you're talking a mile in something like 5 seconds or something. That's that's a distance you travel, so I don't know what a blink would translate to that.
Yeah,
it would be a significant distance, yeah, that's right.
So that might stop us, actually, in our quest for speed here. We might get cut short by our own blinking.
Something like that, yeah.
Wow.
I mean, it's pretty amazing to think of the distances. Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I'm an optimist, Scott, so I think it's worth trying for us to see how fast we can go. I don't know if we have time in this podcast to build our own rocket sled on rails. So let's talk to the budget people here. What's the fastest car we could buy right now?
Okay, well, right now, okay, it depends on how much you want to spend. What's your budget?
Let's say I have a little bit less than $1.2 million.
A little less than 1.2? Okay, that's a pretty good budget, really. If you're looking for something that's half of that, I've got something for that. And that's actually what's considered to be the fastest car in the world right now. That's a top-end speed. It's the SSC Ultimate Aero, and the Ultimate Aero will go 257 miles per hour at top-end. That's the Guinness Book of World Records vehicle right now. But it's gonna cost you. It'll be almost $650,000.
Pennies.
But, yeah.
Pennies and nickels.
Yeah, that's right. And so the 0 to 60 time on that vehicle is around 2.7 seconds. So that's pretty quick as well. So it's fast and quick. Now, if you want to talk probably the quickest car, you're going to double that price, or more, actually. It's going to be nearly $1.5 million. That's for the Bugatti Veyron. And that will go 0 to 60 in 2.5 seconds, which is a little quicker but it's also slower. It'll go only 253 miles per hour, so you're going to lose 4 miles per hour there.
Okay, so I guess that's an important distinction we need to make here between the two vehicles, because when we're talking top speed, we're talking about the absolute maximum the engine can be pushed to. That top speed is 4 miles more.
That's right. Top end, top gear, very ultimate end of speed for that vehicle, yeah.
Okay, and the whereas this other vehicle is, I guess people are paying more because overall it has quickness, you say? Now, what's the difference there?
Typically what we think of as quickness in a vehicle is 0 to 60. And that's a lot of people use that as a determining factor when they pick out a sports car. They have brand loyalty that they want a Corvette or they want something that is capable. They want the Viper or something like that. But quickness, 0 to 60 times, and they're now approaching, like we said, these two vehicles, the 2.5 second mark, and 3 seconds or anything really under about 6 seconds. To me, that seems like that's a fast car. Mm-hmm. Faster is better, of course, and quicker is better. So
okay,
that's most people think that way.
Okay, so it sounds like what we need to do first off is we need to figure out which of these we're going to get after we've spoken with the people in accounting. And I don't want to make any promises, Scott, but I'm confident that we might be able to take this all the way out to the interstate. So the next question, I guess, and maybe this is the most important, is which of us gets to drive.
Oh, well, clearly that's me. I'll be the one in control of this car. That's no doubt about it. I mean, I've got the experience. I mean, I've seen you before. You're a little shaky. I mean, shaking right now, so I'm definitely going to be the one.
It's my nature.
Yeah, nervous nature, I guess. But that's another thing we didn't even touch on is control, really. We need to talk about control. Because, if you're driving, sure, you can drive on the highway at 100 miles per hour. You can do that. It's not recommended by any means, but you could be out of control at that speed, and that's very dangerous. Now, if you're talking a car that'll go 250 miles per hour and get there quickly, that's also another issue. I mean, you could easily lose control of that car. There's a lot of practice that goes into driving a car on a racetrack. It's not you don't just jump in and do it. You have to have warm tires that are going to be sticky. They have to be warm. The vehicle itself has to be warmed up so that the mechanical elements don't fail. The driver, him or herself, has to be ready for that. They have to be ready to, because things are coming at you a lot faster than you think they would. I mean, it's you have to be reactionary and you have to be proactive. You have to know how to do it safely.
I see. You know what? You have persuaded me. You have convinced me. I am sold, my friend. You are the driver of this car, actually the only question that you haven't, I guess we haven't really explored, is where on earth can we do this? Where can we go? Is there any country or any place that's really going to let us go 200 plus miles an hour?
That's actually a very good question, because if you have a car that'll go 250, you can't really just go out on the interstate and let it fly there. On the Autobahn, you can go there. You can go as fast as you can, but that's not something that's accessible to everybody. One thing that is pretty much accessible to everybody, if you look into it, you'd have to really dig deep to find it. But a lot of local tracks will sponsor days where you can go out and you sign all the important waivers and take care of business that way. But they'll let you run your street vehicle out there. On there are groups that you can join, SCCA. You can go to drag days where you can race against other people in the quarter mile, and it's just a lot of smaller venues that will allow you to kind of test your vehicle a little bit. And if you wanted to, if you were in the region, you could go to the Bonneville Salt Flats and give it a shot there. But that's another thing. You got to be careful when you do it. You have to be very, very careful.
Always check your local laws as well, because I know that we here at the podcast definitely do not recommend collecting any speed tickets.
No, of course not. You got to be careful about it at all times. Yeah, that's right.
I guess that's the end of our show. Maybe we should go check into this.
Well, that sounds good. Let's head over to the accounting department, and we'll see if we can pick up our check for, $1.5 million? If we can get that Bugatti that we wanted. Sound good?
Yeah, we'll work it out.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@HowStuffWorks.com.
Imagine you ask two people the same 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.